Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. Polyant Labs is a Phoenix-based early-stage incubator that helps blockchain and blockchain-adjacent startups launch. Polyant Games is a recent spinoff of Polyant Labs, and it is focused on investing in and supporting the blockchain gaming ecosystem. Mr. Craig Russo, the Director of Innovation, joined Polyant Labs in January and brought with him an in-depth knowledge of blockchain, cryptocurrencies, crypto gaming landscape, and non-fungible tokens or NFTs. Prior to joining Polyant, he was the founder and editor at Sludgefeed, a new site devoted to covering blockchain and crypto projects. He has authored more than 3,000 articles on blockchain gaming, esports investing, crypto, and NFTs. Before getting interested in those areas, Craig was a neuroscientist. He worked with Pure Tech Ventures, where he was instrumental in helping build biotech startups such as Karuna Therapeutics and Follica. Craig earned top biotechnology innovator honors from Xconomy in 2017 and worked in several leading neuroscience labs at Harvard University. He's here today to tell us more about the blockchain, crypto, and the NFT world. Mr. Russo, thanks for joining us here today on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eric. Excited to talk about some of these ideas.
Yeah, certainly looking forward to hearing all the details per your expertise, and really appreciate your time and joining us here today. So let's start off today by talking more about your background. It's quite fascinating, I might add. And how did you go from working in the biotech industry to pivoting into the blockchain industry?
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but my career has always been sort of evolving. I as you mentioned, I started off in kind of the hardcore sciences, working in a lot of neuroscience research at Harvard. Then I made the transition into the biotech world, in the venture capital / startup ecosystem in Boston, actually, where I worked for a number of years. It's kind of a similar story to everyone that really joins the cryptocurrency space, is that there's always a moment of kind of a spark of interest that kind of primes a deeper dive into the space. And that really came for me in late 2016, 2017, really kind of when the cryptocurrency markets and industry was becoming a little bit more mainstream. Bitcoin was well known, but a lot of the altcoins and other blockchain projects were just starting to get up to speed. And that's really where, I saw an opportunity with Sludgefeed, as you mentioned, is a media outlet that's covering the cryptocurrency market, to really provide kind of a deeper expertise and deeper breakdown of the cryptocurrency market for investors and readers. And that's really where, from 2017 on, me and my co-founder, Tom Stankiewicz at the time, were really focused on kind of building out a lot of great content. And that's really what led to the 3,000 articles. And as things evolved, I looked to, combine my, time spent in the cryptocurrency space, interviewing founders, understanding the markets and really kind of the market dynamics, and combine that with my background in kind of the early stage startup world from my biotech experience. And that really is what led me to Polyant Labs, which we can get into more a little bit later. But right now, I think it's a very interesting time to talk about some of these ideas related to, digital currencies, decentralization, blockchain, things like that.
Certainly appreciate your highlighting your background. That's quite impressive, as I mentioned before, and really is helpful to kind of set things up here today. Now, what is it about blockchain, crypto, and NFTs that you find so fascinating?
Right. I think it's, some of the core concepts of the industry is really kind of decentralizing, value creation and ownership. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of what blockchain technology is and what it can and cannot do, which is kind of clouded by some of the volatility associated with the underlying currencies. But the applications of blockchain technology, are very, very wide, far-reaching. And so one of the kind of core areas that I've been focused on over the last few years, and really now with Polyant, are these ideas of non-fungible tokens. And so I can give a quick deep dive into it, but, you know, fungible tokens are tokens, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, where one Bitcoin is indistinguishable from the other, kind of similar to the U.S. dollar. Whereas with non-fungible tokens, this offers the ability of to bring in an element of scarcity into digital assets. And so that allows you to have tokens that are, have singular representation on the blockchain. And so you can think of the applications for those being very useful for digitizing, you know, things like real-world assets, collectibles, game, video game items, and a lot of kind of adjacent markets. And so that's kind of one of my main focuses has been on these NFTs and figuring out ways in which you can really take these value, you know, these assets that can have real-world value and begin applying them more broadly across, you know, the market. And so I think right now it's a very interesting time for cryptocurrencies. You know, I think with the larger economic volatility, I think there's a lot of opportunity. But you know, as with every other asset class, it's a scary time. So that's why, you know, with us at Polyant, we're really focused on finding and working on digital asset areas that have longevity and have real world value that can weather a lot of this global volatility.
Yes, most certainly some volatile times. Really appreciate your bringing up the importance of locking into blockchain, especially during these times. Now, let's talk about Polyant Games. We've interviewed several people from Polyant Labs and understand it helps incubate blockchain startups. What is Polyant Games doing right now?
Yeah. So, you know, Polyant Labs, which was founded by Brad Robertson, serial entrepreneur, you know, really took an idea of a market need of, you know, supporting early stage blockchain startups, where there's a lot of resources right now for, you know, tech companies and a litany of you know, Uber replacements and things like that. Really, in the blockchain space, in the cryptocurrency space, there's not very many resources to help grow your early stage business. And that's really where Polyant Labs kind of built their initial beachhead into the space, is to, you know, support some of these pre-seed type companies and help them grow. And as Polyant Labs, you know, went through the iteration process with a number of cohorts of startups, it really began to identify, again, this non-fungible token market as a very unique opportunity. Because as I mentioned, you know, unlike cryptocurrencies, these non-fungible tokens can have, you know, a lot of utility attached with them, which brings additional value from, you know, just everything from regulatory perspective to kind of mainstream adoption. And so that's kind of the core concept behind Polyant Games, which is focused, you know, initially on one of the best applications of non-fungible tokens, which is blockchain gaming. When you're thinking about blockchain gaming relative to traditional gaming, there's a lot of core concepts of which NFTs can really add value and bring back a bit of control away from, you know, centralized game publishers to the gamer, because there's a lot of unidirectional money flow in gaming, where, you know, Fortnite gamers are spending thousands and millions and, you know, billions a year on game items that they are unable to resell in secondary markets. And so non-fungible tokens, which can represent game items, really allows gamers to, you know, have more control over the assets and the money that they're spending in game. And so that's one of the areas, you know, that one of the reasons why Polyant Labs launched Polyant Games is to really kind of explore and help grow this emerging blockchain gaming ecosystem and industry, where, you know, right now it's even relative to the traditional cryptocurrency industries, it's very much in its infancy. Polyant Games is comprised of two major elements. We have a core investment entity that's really focused on investing in startups that are helping grow the NFT market and NFT industry. And then we have a third-party ecosystem where we're partnering with a lot of industry technical leaders and various blockchain games. There's some, you know, got early adopters of this technology to help really kind of build out the overall, you know, underlying infrastructure and bring in more users to begin adopting these games. And so we have a lot planned, you know, throughout the next year to really, unveil a lot of these concepts in what we're building. But at the end of the day, really with Polyant Games, we hope to kind of help focus the industry to help expand the non-fungible token market.
Certainly some good information there. And even taking that further, how do blockchain games differ from, say, the traditional games? And are there things blockchain-based games offer users and fans that traditional games cannot?
Yeah, sure. And so, I will preface this by saying blockchain games are very much indie games at this stage. There's no real main, major publisher putting out blockchain-based games. It's very much independent groups that are developing these games. And so one of the core concepts behind blockchain gaming, is, as I mentioned, is really, again, putting the power back into the gamer, where there's so much money currently being spent on in-game items. I believe it's, was in the billions, $20 or $30 billion last year alone. But those items are, essentially limited in what they can be used for and have no resale value beyond, in-game usage. And so there's an entire economic model that is created through blockchain gaming, utilizing the NFT tokens, which essentially enables gamers to, play with their item within the game. But if they're done with, done playing it, they can go to a secondary market and then resell it to someone else who might be interested in using that item within, within the game or even a different game. And so it brings this idea of, kind of that Ready Player One type model where, if I have a sword that I'm using in game A, if I have true ownership over that sword, I can then bring it into game B, when the industry is fully evolved. A lot, obviously there's a lot of technical and design barriers attached to that, but essentially it enables a larger economic model to form around gaming, which, what they're calling play to earn, where you can think of it as, if you put the sweat equity into your gaming, you could actually earn some money by reselling the items that you evolve within individual games. And so I think it's something that has been it's a concept that's popular among certain game, non-blockchain game types, but the idea of bringing, kind of the external economy for real-world dollar broadening the scope in which you can earn is something that's really being brought in by blockchain gaming. In addition to that, a lot of the issues attached to centralized publishers and centralized games is that, there's no control, there's no voting rights. There's, if the game shuts down, the publisher no longer supports it. There's a chance that the game goes away completely. And so by putting games even partially on the blockchain, it allows for a more decentralized creation of the game. Obviously right now it's very early stage and publishers, even in blockchain gaming, are very centralized. But as things evolve and technologies become more efficient, blockchains are able to scale better, more of the game is able to be put on the blockchain. That essentially allows for a future in which, even if the centralized publisher goes away, the game can continue on well into the future. So I think, at the end of the day, blockchain gaming, it will essentially complement centralized gaming. Again, it's still very much an indie game within the indie game arena. But I think some of the core economic concepts that are being applied to blockchain gaming have huge potential once, some of the technical barriers, are broken.
Certainly insightful and informative so far. Today we are joined by Mr. Craig Russo, the Director of Innovation at Polyant Labs, an early stage business incubator, helping entrepreneurs fast track blockchain innovations by providing them with the insight, guidance, services, support, working capital, and direction needed to power their next-gen solutions here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Russo, it's interesting you refer to this gaming ecosystem. Can you describe this ecosystem and get into some of those details further?
Yeah, sure. As I mentioned, we have a core investment focus and investment entity that we're, really looking to deploy capital to startups that are building, the infrastructure of the non-fungible NFT market. But this third-party ecosystem that we're also co-developing is really focused on bringing in, the blockchain games and third-party technical partners, kind of under one umbrella. in which we can all work together. You know, it's a very small group in blockchain gaming right now, where we can all work together and help advance the industry as a whole. And so our ecosystem really aims to lower the barrier of user adoption, solve some key technical issues that some games are plaguing games right now, as well as, you know, continue to innovate around unique collaborations that can really help push blockchain gaming more towards the mainstream, both in the cryptocurrency industry as well as the gaming industry. Right now, it kind of sits in between both, you know, and both, you know, both the sides don't really know what it is. And so we really help, you know, hope to kind of be the educational, force that helps, you know, bring real user adoption into the industry. So we're, you know, again, we're very much early days on our development, but we have a lot planned in terms of various products and services that we're going to offer within our ecosystem, which will be, you know, very useful to the games that you know, join us. And so we're exploring this concept as a open ecosystem. And so I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but right now with ecosystems in the blockchain space, it's very, it's very technical. There's a lot of technical limitations attached to being a part of an ecosystem, because usually it means, you know, you have to adopt a certain technology or blockchain network. But what we're really hoping to do, as you know, with the Polygon Games ecosystem, is, you know, explore this idea of social interaction, and as a social layer where it's less tied to technology, more tied to collaboration and advancing a unified mission. And so this is something that's already, you know, really resonated with some of the early adopters of our ecosystem, and something that we hope to kind of expand upon as we go. But overall, you know, it's such an early and young industry that, you know, we really hope to help shape some of the standards and ideas around it.
Also, are there other companies Polyet Games is currently working with, and what do they bring to the ecosystem?
Sure, yeah. So we have a number of early investments that we've already made via Polyet Labs. And so these are groups like Cargo. So Cargo is an early stage startup that's developing new technologies for the minting of non-fungible tokens. So as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of technical barriers that are limiting the growth of the NFT market. And one of those is really kind of the scalability of blockchain networks and the scalability of the actual minting process or creation process of NFTs. And so Cargo is actually currently an incubee within Polyet Labs incubator. And they're really exploring these ideas of really helping scale that process. And so they're going to be one of the core kind of technical partners within our ecosystem, the Polyet Games ecosystem. We've also made investments in a group called Blockade Games, which is a team behind a very popular upcoming blockchain game called Neon District. And so really kind of their focus is, as I mentioned, exploring some of these unique economic models that are provided, you know, made possible only by blockchain technology, and really applying it to a game that has a lot higher potential to attract mainstream gamer adoption. In addition to that, they're really focused on kind of the underlying technology for onboarding game developers to help build on blockchain, you know, kind of build on a blockchain platform. And so they're a group that we're really excited about and think have a lot of, deep expertise and high potential for, you know, kind of driving forward the industry. And so that's kind of the idea that we really hope to bring in with Polyet Games is, you know, as companies come through Polyet Labs, we can continue to work with them in Polyet Games and kind of build on what some of the early progress that they've had, you know, within Polyet Labs. And so I think at the end of the day, we're going to have once we're fully launched, a very, very efficient system of venture incubation and growth within some of the Polyet ecosystem that we're developing. It's a scary time for startups, and so we continue to explore unique ways in which we can continue to support them, you know, even from a digital and remote perspective.
That is pretty awesome stuff right there. You mentioned digital collectibles. Can you explain those to our listeners? Explain what digital collectibles is.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, with, as I mentioned before, with the, you know, kind of the unique ability of NFTs, is to have a unique representation of an asset. So what kind of one of one asset on the blockchain. And so when you think of that, you know, one of the major applications of, you know, an NFT is actually collectibles. And so this can be anything from, you know, a digital sports card, like a, you know, baseball or football card represented on the blockchain, you know, all the way over to, you know, as I mentioned, pieces of, you know, game items and even art. So digital art and, as they're being called now, crypto artists is one of the, you know, kind of quickest growing segments of the NFT market, because a lot of pain points that digital artists are facing right now are being solved by the ability to leverage NFTs and have a more efficient secondary market sales system. And so, kind of the idea of bringing the mainstream collectibles market into the digital world, you know, our hypothesis is really, you know, that leveraging NFTs is going to help lower a lot of the tech, you know, a lot of the barriers that you would see, you know, if you try to do it without, you know, real blockchain non-fungible representation. So I think, you know, it's one of the markets that excites us most. You know, it's a $100+ billion market right now just with physical collectibles, and we think that, you know, the applications and the utility digitally, you know, could even surpass that, you know, once real adoption occurs.
Now, Craig, if you would, let's change direction a little here. As someone with a background in both biomedicine and technology, what sort of role will technology play in a post-COVID-19 coronavirus world?
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned, it's a scary time for, you know, not only startups, for everyone, for consumers and you know, everyone alike. So, you know, I think personally, you know, and just kind of listening to some experts, I think we're going to be, you know, coming out of this in a world that kind of understands, you know, the pluses and minuses of in-person interaction and the, you know, kind of the whether in-person reaction has core necessity across different business segments. And so you're already seeing it right now, the mass adoption of, you know, telecommunication, you know, groups like, Zoom and various other applications where everyone's getting up to speed really quickly on it. I think, you know, as we come out of this, you know, we're going to see a world in which people are far more likely to adopt remote work. I believe, you know, at the end of the day, some of the core concepts of telemedicine are going to be expanded. You know, I know there's been some loosening of regulations attached to that, you know, out of necessity right now. And so I think, you know, once we have things settled, I think kind of understanding, you know, how to better apply telemedicine, you know, is going to be one of the core areas. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of very interesting startup ideas that come out of this crisis, because, you know, before this, I don't think people were really thinking about, you know, the fragility of our system as it relates to in-person interactions. And so I think we're really going to move towards a more digital world after this, which I think has, you know, some unique applications, you know, as I mentioned, not only for telemedicine, telecommunication, but also for work and entertainment as it relates to, you know, the cryptocurrency and blockchain industries.
Fantastic points made, and I totally agree with you. It certainly will change a lot moving forward for sure. Now, what should businesses be doing now to prepare for this new environment?
Well, yeah, so I think it all depends on the size of the business. Obviously, you know, one of the unfortunate, you know, victims of this, you know, outbreak has been small businesses and brick and mortar shops. I think, you know, the recovery of that industry is going to have a kind of a long tail attached to it. I think at the end of the day, it really depends on the quickness of our recovery, and if we can help, you know, if we as in, you know, the U.S. and you know, the Western world can kind of match some of the things that have been done in the Eastern world to kind of levy some of the, you know, flatten the curve, if you will. But I think, you know, when it looks, when you look at more startup and venture based businesses, it's really kind of adopting the idea of, you know, having remote workers. And so this is a concept that has actually, you know, been one of the core tenets of the blockchain industry. The nature of a decentralized currency kind of lends itself to decentralized work. And so a lot of these blockchain projects have already been working in this capacity where, you know, you have developers that you know, span numerous continents, you know, a management team that's not under one roof. And so it's, you know, it's already been an area where there's been a lot of unique work done. And so I think that these concepts will then begin to bleed out into more of the traditional, you know, tech world. And so I think at the end of the day, you know, if I was running a startup or, you know, mid-tier business, I'd be really thinking about how can I create a workable internal operation structure that really enables remote work. You know, obviously it's always good to have people in person, but at the end of the day, I think we're going to be exiting this, event with a big change in mentality. And so I think if I were, you know, if I had a larger team, I would start thinking about ways in which, you know, we can really begin to leverage telecommunication and begin building out some of our internal resources to support people from a remote basis.
Well, this certainly has been a great and informative conversation today, Craig. Really appreciate what you do in the space and for joining us here today. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or to get further details online, where can they do that?
Yeah. So I can actually be emailed directly at craig@polyent.io, and Polyent is spelled Polyient. You can also follow me on Twitter at Ecnar, ECNAR underscore official, spelled the normal way. And you can also follow Polyent Games on Twitter, which is Polyent Games, one word. Again, Polyent spelled Polyient. And, you know, we're very much interested in engaging with, you know, the larger cryptocurrency community and others that are interested in, you know, exploring some of these core concepts. So, you know, always excited to have a conversation.
Again, Craig, we thank you for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly wish you and Polyent Labs continued success.
Yes, thank you so much, Eric. You have a good one. Appreciate it.
And you're most welcome, and you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Craig Russo, the Director of Innovation at Polyent Labs, an early-stage business incubator helping entrepreneurs fast-track blockchain innovations by providing them with the insight, guidance, services, support, working capital, and direction needed to power their next-gen solutions. And for further details, visit polyent.io. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.